Welcome to the Bob Harden Show, bringing you news and commentary to keep you informed and enjoying life on the Paradise Coast. And now, here's your host, Bob Harden.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by the good folks at Johnson's Air Conditioning. Johnson's Air Conditioning is Naples' longest established air conditioning company. Hope you give them a call. The website is johnsonsairconditioning.com. Also brought to you by Life in Naples magazine. Be in the know and stay up to date by reading Life in Naples. The website is lifeinnaples.net. We have a terrific show lined up for you today, including special guest Pastor Rick Stevens, co-founder of the Florida Citizens Alliance. We'll visit with Seton Motley, the founder and president of Less Government. Dr. George Markovich, orthopedic surgeon, will be joining us, as well as Bill Barnett, the former mayor of Naples, will be with us as well. It is April the 11th, and on this day in 1803, in one of the great surprises in diplomatic history, French Foreign Minister Charles Maurice de Talleyrand made an offer to sell all of Louisiana Territory to the United States. Talleyrand was no fool. As a minister, foreign minister to French Foreign Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte, he is one of the most powerful men in the world. 3 years earlier, Talleyrand had convinced Napoleon that he could create a new French empire in North America. The French had long had a tenuous claim to the vast territory west of the Mississippi known as Louisiana Territory, which had already been occupied by Native Americans for centuries. In 1800, Napoleon secretly signed a treaty with Spain that officially gave France full control of the territory. Then he began to prepare France's mighty army to occupy New Orleans and bolster French dominion. When President Thomas Jefferson learned of Napoleon's plans in 1802, he was understandably alarmed. Jefferson had long hoped the U.S. would expand westward beyond Mississippi, but the young American Republic was in no position militarily to challenge French for the territory. Jefferson hoped that his minister in France, Robert Livingston, might at least be able to negotiate an agreement whereby Napoleon would give the U.S. control of New Orleans, the gateway to the Mississippi River. At first, the situation looked bleak because Livingston's initial attempts at reaching a diplomatic agreement failed. In early 1803, Jefferson sent his young Virginia friend James Monroe to Paris to assist Livingston. Fortunately for the United States, by the time Napoleon's situation in Europe had changed for the worse, war between France and Great Britain was imminent, and Napoleon could no longer spare the military resources needed to secure control of Louisiana Territory. Realizing that the powerful British Navy would probably take the territory by force, Napoleon reasoned it would only be better to sell Louisiana to the Americans than to have it fall into the hands of his enemy. After months of having fruitlessly negotiated over the fate of New Orleans, Livingston again met with Talleyrand on this day in 1803. To Livingston's immense surprise, this time the cagey French minister coolly asked, what would you give us for the whole? He meant not the whole of New Orleans, but the whole of Louisiana Territory. Quickly recognizing that this was an offer of potentially immense significance for the United States, Livingston and Moreau began to discuss France's proposal cost for the territory. Several weeks later, on April the 30th, 1803, the American emissaries signed a treaty with France to purchase the vast territory, forget this, $11,250,000. $11 million. Can you imagine? A little more than 2 weeks later, Great Britain declared war on France. With the sale of the Louisiana Territory, Napoleon abandoned his dreams of a North American empire, but he also achieved a goal that he thought was more important. The sale of Louisiana assures forever the power of the United States, Napoleon later wrote, and I have given England a rival who sooner or later will be able to humble her pride. So interesting. That $11 million, the entire Louisiana purchase. Amazing. Well, U.S. stocks got pummeled yesterday. They dropped on Wednesday as traders took in a hotter-than-expected inflation report and repriced their expectations for Fed rate cuts this year. All three benchmark indexes fell early in Wednesday, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average losing over 450 points. Consumer prices rose 3.8% per year in March, higher than what economists had expected. In the third month in a row, the consumer price indexes have been higher than expected, raising concerns that progress in the fight against inflation could be stalling. the odds of a June rate cut have been completely wiped off the table. And if there's going to be a rate cut at all, it may even be after the election. We'll see what happens. In addition, small business optimism, a measure of the outlook of small business owners about the future of their business and the economy, fell in March to the lowest level since December of 2012, according to a report from the National Federation of Independent Business. The Small Business Optimism Index fell in March to 88.5 points, far below the 50-year average of 98. It fell 10 points below that, according to a survey done by NFIB. The index for small business owners' expectations of higher sales volume declined 8 points, the most of out of any category, a totaling of minus 18, as owners remain largely pessimistic about their business and sales expectations. Around 25% of small business owners surveyed reported that inflation was the single most important problem when operating their business. Unbelievable. Small businesses are having a tough time of it. And then the consumer, well, almost 50 million Americans are now considered subprime borrowers after higher living costs have led to missed debt payments, which damage credit ratings. Compared to just a year ago, an extra 1.2 million now have credit scores in the lowest possible area of 300 to 600 range. At this level, the score is below what is needed to get the best of prime interest rates. Some banks might even avoid giving credit cards or auto loans altogether, as people in this range are seen as much riskier to lend to. A score below 601 also makes it difficult for Americans to rent properties, take out mortgages, or even get phone plans. Meanwhile, Americans within a top prime credit score have dropped under a third of Americans for the very first time. So all this is not boding well for the economy, nor for Joe Biden's prospects for becoming president in 2024. In fact, Jamie Dimon warned 2 years ago that storm clouds and a hurricane were brewing in the U.S. economy. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO, one of the most closely followed figures across the globe for his views on the economy, among other topics, was off by miles. The U.S. economy not only skirted a recession, something many people, economists, also predicted at the time, but had been growing at an even faster pace than a year ago. On top of that, unemployment rate has stayed below 4% for more than 2 years, despite the 11 rate hikes intended to slow the economy to an effort to curb decades-high inflation. Dimon's prior miscalculation isn't stopping him from sounding the alarm again. In the bank's annual shareholder letter released Monday, ahead of its Friday quarterly earnings report, Dimon said he had concerns about persistent inflationary pressures, and boy, is he right about that. That's why he's skeptical the economy will achieve a soft landing where inflation continues to cool without it causing an unemployment spike. Federal Reserve officials like Dimon share Dimon's concerns, leading some to question whether there's going to be any rate hikes or cuts this year. We'll follow that closely, but as you can see right now, and futures are down going into today's trading. So the market isn't liking what it sees when we're talking about inflation. Well, Hamas political leader Ismail Haniyeh, I practiced saying that a couple of times, Haniyeh said yesterday that an Israeli airstrike killed three of his adult sons traveling to celebrate a Muslim holiday in central Gaza, calling the attack motivated by revenge. Israel confirmed the airstrike, characterizing the three as cell commander and two militant operatives. Hamas comprises a political and military branch. Haniyeh, based in Qatar, leads Hamas' political branch, while Mohammed Diab, who has not been seen publicly in years, leads Hamas's military arm. Yahya Sinwar, who oversees Hamas political and military operations in Gaza, is considered Israel's most wanted target and is blamed for orchestrating the October 7th attack. The strike comes amid ongoing ceasefire talks in Egypt. Hamas yesterday said it cannot hand over the 40 hostages, including women, children, or elderly or sick, as Israeli proposed requires, raising concerns more hostages than previously known are already dead. Hamas is calling for a permanent ceasefire and the return of Palestinians to their homes in the north. Israel, by the way, has said it will allow 150,000 Palestinians to return to northern Gaza. So peace talks are ongoing, but not promising for sure. And right now, more evidence that the hostages, many more hostages than thought, could be dead. Israel's foreign minister today declared his nation's armed forces would launch direct retaliatory strikes on Iran should the Islamic Republic carry out an attack against Israel, the latest step in escalating tensions in the Middle East. Writing in both his native Hebrew and Farsi, Israel Katz said on X, if Iran attacks from its territory, Israel will respond and attack in Iran. Pretty blunt. The blunt and threatening remark came after Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, earlier this morning reiterated his promise to punish an evil Israel following a suspected IDF strike on the Iranian consulate in Syria that killed 12 people, including two top generals on April the 1st. Tehran has held Israel responsible for the strike and immediately vowed to extract retribution. So all this, we're on pins and needles here, watching what's happening in the Middle East. It's not very promising, and it sounds very menacing indeed. Well, Speaker Mike Johnson, the Republican colleagues, dealt him another blow Wednesday by killing a motion to allow a vote on his proposed Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and the reauthorization of that. 19 House Republicans sided with Democrats Wednesday to defeat the rule, 228 to 193. Johnson called for a House Republican conference meeting today, or actually yesterday afternoon at 4 o'clock, to regroup as he tries to extend FISA's authorization with some reforms before the April 19th deadline. The House has finished voting for the week, so Republicans have time to work out their differences, but the reauthorization's future in the House remains uncertain. A fight over the inclusion of the measure requiring federal agents to obtain a warrant to continue surveilling American citizens caught up in surveillance of foreigners will continue to be a sticking point. No such measure is included in Johnson's bill, although Johnson appeared to have consented to an amendment vote on the matter. Donald Trump weighed in. He said his opposition to the reauthorization likely contributed to Wednesday's outcome. He called on the House to kill FISA in Tuesday night's True Social post, writing, "It was illegally used against me and many others. They spied on my campaign," said Trump. The Biden administration and intelligence community have made reauthorization of FISA without a warrant requirement a priority, and they are unlikely to roll out as the fight continues and escalates. I personally am against FISA without a warrant. Right now, they've used it so many times, hundreds of times, thousands of times against Americans. In my estimation right now, the FBI is pretty much becoming an arm of the federal government and being used for political purposes, and that includes these FISA without warrants. So I'm very suspect, very concerned about this FISA renewal, and I think it should be looked at very carefully before it's approved in any way. This segment of the show brought to you by the good folks at Johnson's Air Conditioning, Naples' longest established air conditioning company. I hope you'll visit johnsonsairconditioning.com. Also brought to you by Life in Naples magazine. Be in the know and stay up to date by reading Life in Naples. The website is lifeinnaples.net. Coming up, Pastor Rick Stevens, co-founder of the Florida Citizens Alliance. That and more right here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
The lives of senior members and provide support to their caregivers.
Whoops. Let's try that again.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
I'm Bob Harden, the host of The Bob Harden Show. One of my favorites for breakfast or lunch is Lulabee's Diner, providing great service,
Fabulous food at a rockin' good time, Lulabee's Diner's a throwback to the 60s, complete with great music and a fabulous 60s decor. What I like best is a blend of great food, great value, and terrific service. Most of the friendly waitstaff has been part of Lulabee's for years. I enjoy the great choices for breakfast and lunch, and you'll find the menu has everything and anything to satisfy your taste. Lulabee's offers catering, party platters, lunch boxes, and more. Lulabee's Diner will quickly become one of your favorites for breakfast or lunch. No reservations are needed. Check out the website at lulabees.com and stop by Lulabee's Diner, open from 8 a.m. until 2 p.m. 7 days a week.
And now serving dinner, 4 to 8 p.m. Wednesdays through Saturdays, a terrific menu.
Lulabee's Diner in the Green Tree Shopping Center at the corner of Immokalee and Airport Pulling Roads. Stop by Lulabee's Diner for fabulous food and for a forever cool, rockin' good time.
Collier County Sheriff Kevin Rambaugh says the number one reason the elderly become victims is isolation. The Collier Senior Center goes a long way in keeping seniors connected with the community and with each other. The Collier Senior Center, located at 4898 Coronado Parkway in Golden Gate, provides comprehensive information regarding services and resources that affect the quality of life of older adults and their caregivers in Collier County, empowering them to maintain independent and meaningful lives. Here's Esther Lully, director of Collier Senior Center.
Everyone, every senior is welcome. There's diversity there. It's vibrant. It's a caring atmosphere. So there's a reason we offer the services and programs that we do. We want to help enrich the lives of senior members and provide support to their caregivers.
Want to find out more? Visit CollierSeniorCenter.org. That's CollierSeniorCenter.org. Or call the Collier Senior Center at 239-252-4541. That's 252-4541.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Tim Jarrett, candidate for Collier County Supervisor of Elections. Tim's a 33-year resident of Collier County, a military veteran, a retired sheriff's officer, and a graduate of the FBI National Academy. He stands for Safe, Secure, Ethical Elections. Vote for Tim Jarrett and check out his website, voteforTimJarrett.com. Paid for by Tim Jarrett, Republican for Collier County Supervisor of Elections. Coming up, we're going to be visiting with Seton Motley, the founder and president of Less Government. Right now, we have with us Pastor Rick Stevens, co-founder of the Florida Citizens Alliance. Pastor Rick, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
Hey, always a pleasure to talk to you, Bob.
Thank you, Pastor Rick. Say, I understand. Tell us about the Florida Citizens Alliance.
Well, the Florida Citizens Alliance is a group that's been around for about 10 years. We're a grassroots group. We've grown because of the support of the people, and we've been able to have increased effectiveness in several levels of trying to improve education for children. Our whole focus is how can we help the children get a better education, and when we find initiatives that match that, we chase them. When we hear from parents and other people about problems, we solve them. And we've been working at the local level, at the legislative level. We're now trying to help people find alternatives that suit their children because one size doesn't fit all. We do what nobody else in Florida does when it comes to trying to help kids have a better education.
No question about it. And Pastor Rick, I'm one of the founding members of the Florida Citizens Alliance. I'm very proud of it. I can't think of an organization that's had a more positive impact on public education in Florida than the Florida Citizens Alliance. And right now, of course, our school systems and public education are ranked number one in the nation. And school choice proliferates. We're a leader in that front. I attribute a lot of that to the Florida Citizens Alliance. So congratulations on your success.
Well, thank you, Bob. We are pleased that we could have a part in it. We don't always know how significant. We sometimes think it is, and sometimes we wonder, wow, how did that happen? But there's plenty of room for improvement, and we're about improvement. We're glad to make the progress we've made, and we want to keep pressing forward. There's no reason to stop now. Let's just get it done for the kids.
Well, congratulations. GoFLCA.org is the website. GoFLCA.org. So, Pastor Rick, I understand you saw the premiere of Flynn.
Yes. I don't know if people know the story or remember. If you followed it some years ago, when General Michael Flynn was the national security advisor for President Trump, And then the what we now call the deep state went after him and persecuted and prosecuted him mercilessly.
Yeah.
He was completely innocent and was completely exonerated by the end of the whole thing. But it was a grueling ordeal. Well, he and his family have put together a movie about his life and about the story and why he ended up where he did and why they turned on him like they did. And they had a premiere, the first showing of the movie last week in Venice. And Keith and I went up and got to talk to some of the members of the Flynn family. The general was there. We saw the movie. It is a moving story that every American should see. If people don't think we have a police state operating against us, that movie answers every question.
Huh.
The reason we've been involved with them is they've been huge supporters of Florida Citizens Alliance. And so we were really pleased to go and be a part of that premiere and also help people understand what's going on in the country, because it affects every area of our lives. It affects education. It affects everything.
Absolutely.
And it was a moving evening, I'll tell you.
I have to admit, and a little bit on my heels, I'd not even heard that the movie was being released. And how can we find out more? Where can we get information about the movie? Is it being shown locally?
Well, we're working on a local showing. I don't know how that's going to work out. We're having a meeting this week to see if that's possible. They actually put together their own tour. I'm not sure that because of the way the government turned on Mike Flynn, whether the traditional outlets would have shown it. They might. We don't know. But they put together their own private showings and are now on a tour. People can go to their website, flynnmovie.com, and learn about it. It's even available for sale. I think they've released it for sale now. And people could buy their own copy of it. We'd like to have a local showing. Maybe we can get some of the Flynn family to come and be a part of that here locally. We can't promise that at this point, but it is so important that people see this story. I mean, I talked to one of the lawyers that was at the premiere that actually helped exonerate General Flynn. And I said, aren't there checks and balances in the system that should keep this from happening? And we talked about that a little bit, and I was pretty sure what he was going to say. But then he went on to say, but you have to know, all of official Washington was supporting the Department of Justice prosecuting Flynn and the judge turning on Flynn the way he did.
Yeah.
Think about that. All of official Washington was behind this. Unbelievable.
Well, and not only that, but, the Constitution calls for a trial in front of your peers selected, a jury trial. But that's not happening right now. But I understand that about 90% of the cases that go to court are actually, there's a plea bargain, and there's no justice in that, and there's certainly no justice in how Michael Flynn's trial was handled. I mean, he was bullied into the whole process, using
100%.
Using his son as a bargaining chip. So I really look forward to see the movie. Again, flynnmovie.com is the website.
Yes, that's the website. And stay tuned. We're going to try to have a local showing. I don't know how we can pull that off, but who knows? They've been good partners. They might help us with that.
Wonderful. Well, Pastor Rick, you're a champion of school choice, and one of the choices is micro schools. Maybe you could tell us about that.
Yes. Well, a lot of people don't understand the alternatives to education, and there are many. And one of the things that I'd like to help parents particularly understand is that educating your child doesn't have to look like what most of us experienced going to school. There are all kinds of ways for kids to learn. And one of those that we think is a very intriguing and helpful option for parents is this idea of micro schools, where families get together, and it can be any number of kids in any grades. And there are materials that support this. There are systems to support this. We can help people put this all together. And you form your own school of maybe 10, maybe 12, could be many more than that. It really, there's no particular requirement in terms of numbers, but you can actually teach your children on your own through this micro school concept. It gives you much more flexibility as a family. Your children are liberated from the rigors and sometimes the busy work and wasted time in a school day. And we think it's just a huge help for parents and families to give their children a better education and give the family some relief from some of the pressures of the current lifestyle that goes on around all of us.
Where can we get more information about micro schools?
Well, we have it on our website, and we have a person dedicated to doing that. So people reach out to goflca.org. They can contact us through that website, and we have somebody who knows all about this and can help them begin to take the steps in that direction. Really, any educational initiative that somebody's interested in, we can help put you in touch with the right people that can help you find out what's best for your child. The possibilities are, I mean, I know it sounds silly to say this because everybody says this, but really the possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. There are so many good options for kids these days.
No question about it. And quite frankly, we're now at the point in time where parents need to be making decisions about what next school year is going to look like. So if you have any interest at all, really start to delve into this right now, because I've been assured, and I don't know a lot about it, but I have been assured that starting a micro school is not difficult, and it is supported by the state legislature and by the governor. So give it a look.
All of that is correct.
GoFLCA.org, GoFLCA.org. So much more to talk about, but we don't have time, Pastor Rick. Really appreciate your commentary.
Well, that just proves all the options in education that are out there these days, and people really ought to check them out. Their kids will benefit, and their family will benefit.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Pastor Rick.
You're welcome. Good talking to you, Bob.
You as well. Thank you. All right, coming up, I'm going to be visiting with Seton Motley, the founder and president of Less Government, that and more, right here on The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of The Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Do you have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Private Wealth Advisor Jason Nardella with Nardella Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Nardella Financial Group today at 239-325-1041. That's 239-325-1041. Office is located at 9015 Stratistel Court, Suite 103, Naples, Florida. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Thanks so much for listening to The Bob Harden Show. Are you seeking new customers or contacts for your business? Why not promote your business to our loyal listeners? Join Johnson's Air Conditioning, Blue Provence, the Collier Senior Center, Lulabee's Diner, and many others who've been advertising on the show, in many cases, for years. The rates are reasonable, and there's no required long-term commitments or contracts. Let me help you promote your business to our loyal listeners here on The Bob Harden Show. Visit the website, bobharden.com, or send me an email at bobharden@hotmail.com. That's bobharden@hotmail.com.
Welcome back to The Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We're providing you news and commentary rooted in a commitment to individual liberty, personal responsibility, limited government, and the rule of law. Coming up, we're going to be visiting with Dr. George Markovich. Right now we have with us Seton Motley. Seton is the founder and publisher of Less Government. Seton, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
I do think less government is history, so that's appropriate.
It is indeed. So yeah. Janet Yellen, I'm feeling so cynical right now, but visited China. She did use her chopsticks properly, I understand, but I was wondering if you could comment on the purpose of the visit and what it accomplished.
Well, she definitely looks like she knows how to eat. She came back saying she's very afraid. China's economy obviously is almost entirely predicated upon making crap for the rest of the world, for the Western world, for Western civilization. And of course, you know, when we get a cold, they sneeze, and their population is aging at their population pyramid's even more upside down than ours is. Because, of course, they had the one-child policy for decades. We sort of did, but not officially. But anyway, they're in a lot of trouble. And so what they've started to do is they've been doing this from the beginning, since the early 90s when they joined the WTO and all this stuff. They've been mass subsidizing their exports. If you go and manufacture in China, one, you're using slave or next to slave labor, which is cheaper. And they subsidize the exports, especially for Chinese companies, which allows the companies to then lower the prices and undercut domestic manufacturing in the Western world, including here in the United States. This is why we have a Rust Belt. It's because we spent decades shipping jobs to China and elsewhere, but a lot of many millions to China, because we worked the entire global trade system unfairly against the United States and other places. But we're U.S. citizens, so we'll concentrate on the U.S. And that's been going well. Now, of course, there's a push, at least among the people, not among the elites, to try to restore what was going on 40 years ago, 50 years ago, which is we make our own stuff. Because obviously, you know, the pandemic had a lot of, you know, it seems to have been intentional by the elites, but it had a lot of unintended consequences. One of them being, hey, it's not a good idea to have 90%+ of U.S. drugs made in China.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good idea. So that kind of woke us up to just how ridiculously monomaniacally dependent we are on China. And so they've now increased they're starting to increase their subsidies of those exports to further undercut us and make it, you know, this is the trade war that's been going on for decades. Trump didn't start this. He just finally started shooting back.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been subsidizing. Now they're going to subsidize even more, because we've been talking about, hey, perhaps we should insource this stuff again. So that's what she's looking at. That's what she's talking about when she says, you know, that they've got to stop dumping products in here in the United States. And, of course, this is completely at odds with their whole fake energy push.
Right.
I wrote a piece years ago where I said almost all the U.S. government subsidies for fake energy, green energy, which is neither green nor energy, go to communist China.
All right.
It's just to show you how bogus the whole thing is with regards to China. They make almost all the solar panels. They make almost all the wind turbines and all these stupid things. They don't use them. They're bringing online one or two coal plants a week.
Right.
They're making them for idiot Western countries who are engaged in this delusion that 0.04% of the .00012% of the atmosphere, which is man-made carbon dioxide, is a problem because they don't do math very well.
You're absolutely right. See, in fact, how about it looks like the EPA and others with the Biden administration are single-handedly trying to kill the automotive business here in the United States and basically be totally dependent on China with regard to EVs. We're talking about the rare earth.
The batteries.
Everything like that. So what we're doing is it's self-destruction in terms of the capitalist economy.
Well, this is another angle, a new face on the old push to destroy the United States by removing all domestic manufacture, which of course is millions of jobs for regular people mm-hmm. inside the United States. And yeah, I mean, this we're already seeing it, a massive pullback by the auto industry. They played ball with the government for a few years, and they're just the EVs are just piling up on the showroom floors because no one's buying them. And who can blame them? They're three times as expensive, even with all the subsidies, and they're completely impractical as a transportation device. And now we're trying to do, not only can't we sell cars, now they're trying to push long haul trucks,
which you can,
if you drive a regular fuel truck, you can fill up once for 3 hours and drive for 1200 miles. A electric truck, you have to charge for 12 hours and drive 300 miles.
Right.
Which means the cross-country trek of your goods and service, you know, your goods will go from 2 or 3 days to 2 or 3 weeks or longer.
And never mind the demand on the electric grid and the other problems that are.
Oh yeah, I mean, I saw some testimony before Congress. Somebody tried to build a EV battery, factory, and the city, I think it was Detroit. It was near Detroit. And Detroit said, "Are you kidding? This is more. Your factory would use more electricity than the entire city currently uses."
Yeah.
just to make the stupid batteries, which, by the way, are biohazards. And when you get in a car accident, they have to bring in hazmat teams to deal with it.
Yeah.
And when you dispose of them, they're like nuclear waste. It's just the whole thing, and they weigh as much as the car.
Right.
And they cost, you know, if you've ever bought a car battery for your regular car, what does it cost you? $140, $150?
Yeah.
These are $10,000 or $12,000.
I had to replace one in my car. I have a what's the word I'm looking for? Where you have both
hybrid?
Hybrid. I had a hybrid. Battery cost was $9,000.
Yeah, and again, first the one question would be, okay, what do they do with the old battery?
Yeah, right.
and you can't. There are parts you can recycle, but a lot of it is just nuclear waste you have to dispose of like it's nuclear waste.
Yeah. We're headed down the wrong path again. Seton Motley, the founder and president of Less Government, I encourage you to visit the website, lessgovernment.org, lessgovernment.org. Seton, always appreciate your commentary here on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, sir.
My pleasure indeed. All right, coming up, we're going to be visiting with Dr. George Markovich. He is an orthopedic surgeon. We're going to do that and more right here in the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Two-thirds of parents prefer educational options for their children, with 40% strongly preferring options for their child's education. School choice is a growing movement, one that is already lifting thousands of kids across America. The Optima Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation, was founded to support the establishment and expansion of superior quality schools of choice. Optima's goal was the successful launch of Hillsdale College Varney Charter School, Initiative Classical Academies, and other schools of excellence across the state of Florida, serving kindergarten through the 12th grade. The mission is to train the minds and improve the hearts of young people through a content-rich classical education in the liberal arts and sciences with instruction in the principles of moral character and civic virtue. And a terrific product of the process, Naples Classical Academy has already opened here in Naples. You can find out more by visiting the website optima.foundation. Help children in Florida optimize their educational opportunities. Visit www.optima.foundation. Do you suffer from joint pain in your shoulders, hips, or knees? I was suffering from debilitating pain in my knees. On a referral, I saw Dr. George Markovich with the Institute for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine. He successfully treated my symptoms and pain for several months. Finally, having exhausted all alternatives for pain management, Dr. Markovich and I agreed that surgery was my best alternative. Dr. Markovich replaced both of my knees in 2006, and I now have full range of motion in both knees, and I have no pain. I now play golf and exercise free of debilitating pain in my knees. Don't suffer needlessly with joint pain. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. George Markovich with the Institute for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine at 482-5399. That's 482-5399. He did a great job for me, and he'll help you too.
Back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. It's brought to you in part by Gulf Shore Playhouse, changing lives through exceptional theater experiences. And you don't want to miss She Loves Me. It's running through April the 21st. It's terrific. It's a clever storyline, catchy tunes, fantastic choreography, and an outstanding cast straight from Broadway, actually. So you can find out more. There's a new performing arts center in downtown Naples. Get tickets to She Loves Me. The website is GulfShorePlayhouse.org. Coming up, I'm going to visit with Mayor Bill Barnett. Right now we have with us Dr. George Markovich, my orthopedic surgeon. He replaced both of my knees in 2006, and a couple of years ago, replaced my hip. I'm so grateful for it. Dr. Markovich, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Bob. Good morning.
Good morning to you. There's some changes happening in medicine right now. I'd be interested in talking about that, but also you now have joined forces, the Center for Orthopedic Surgery and Sports Medicine has joined forces with the Orthopedic Center of Florida Maybe you could tell us about it.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, you're right. Changes in medicine have been ongoing for many years. And there's several groups that have formed around town. And we were a small group competing in a competitive landscape with larger groups. And a group that we've been very familiar with for many years asked us to join. And we merged recently. So we are a combined group that's expanding. Orthopedic Center of Florida is the new name. You know, we were a small group, but pretty big in terms of volume. And so our seven orthopedic surgeons are combining forces with about double orthopedic surgeons in the other group. And also further expansion is exceedingly likely in Southwest Florida. So we're very excited about these developments. You know, as a small group, sometimes you feel like you're a fruit stand between Amazon and Walmart. And the changes in medicine are ongoing and really make you feel small, because data kind of runs the show in terms of the payers and in terms of how things are allocated resource-wise. And so to compete, we needed help. And this group found help in a national organization that's focused on data, Health Optimization Performance Company, started out in Arizona and now extending all over the country. So they're kind of powering our efforts. And they have over 70 actuaries in their company, which is over 5,000 employees, I think. So they really understand data. And I think that standardization and quality management and vertical integration are things that, you know, we talk about, but we really don't know how to implement. And with these kind of supportive entities behind us, with excellent people, with I think excellent working relationships, it's a very exciting time for our group and for our patients. I think they're going to benefit significantly.
Absolutely. Well, that's what you just described is synergy, I would say. And in other words, it's taking with us by spreading, having so many more resources in order to address significant problems that have happened. And they happen in all industries and all businesses and all professionals. It sounds like it's a real step up for you and your surgery practice.
It is. And look, it's a process. You know, complexity, you know, has a way of working itself out, either positive or negatively. But I'm going to give you kind of a colloquial example. Early in my career, you know, I was struggling with, you know, things that can happen complication-wise. And it really eats into me. For instance, a dislocated hip. You know, you have to line it perfectly, and even then there's neuromuscular disorders, there's patient compliance and things like that. And early on in my career, the rate of dislocation for a primary hip was about 4% nationally. I was at about 2%. With revision or redo surgeries, it's much higher, up to 20%. Now, if you do a lot of hip replacements, even 2%, you feel like you should get a room at the emergency room, because you do a lot of hip replacements, that really adds up. And, yeah, and it's unnerving for the patient, and it's something, you know, you can work at to really, really try to decrease that risk, whether it's approaches, whether it's, you know, patient education and all those things. Well, I was able to work through that process. It took me years to decrease it, to understand it, to refine my techniques and how we treat our patients preoperatively, intraoperatively, and postoperatively. And even in revision setting, it decreased markedly. Now, with data and with a more sophisticated approach to understanding things real time, that will be lessened quicker.
Yeah.
Things like that.
the learning curve and everything that goes along with that is so interesting. And yet, you know, I've been hospitalized a couple of times because of knee operations or those types of things. The point being is that the quality of care just depends on the person who's in the room with you at the time. And doctor, you've just been fantastic. I just appreciate your care over the years. You've nursed me through the process of or doctored me through the process of finally getting my knees replaced, and then, of course, my hip replaced as well. So I'm just really grateful for your care.
Thank you, Bob. I tell you, I'm really excited also about teaching this to the next generation. Hmm. You know, I think that is also a reason why we did this, so that we can have younger, bright, hardworking surgeons who will benefit from our experiences and help our patients long-term.
It just sounds like it was so exciting for you, right? It's got to be a great stepping stone for you, your practice, and also the business aspects of this.
I think it's been a very worthwhile endeavor. Clinical medicine is very challenging, especially now. And I think these are positive directions.
Yeah, wonderful. Again, Dr. George Markovich, I'd just encourage you. The number is 849, is it Bone?
Yeah, it's a new number. I don't think I even know it yet, but our patients, if they call us or if they go on the website, Orthopedic Centers of Florida, I think they'll be able to navigate through, and it's going to get better and better and better. It's an iterative process, yeah. And you know, the more you use it, the better you get at it. And I think making appointments is going to be a lot easier for our patients. Communicating with us is going to be easier and you know, maybe not right away, Bob. You know, there are growing pains.
Sure.
But in time, this is going to be, I believe, a home run.
Well, right now, if you're struggling with pain, joint pain, anything like that, 482-5399 is the old number. I think it still works. So 482-5399 or 482-BONE, I think, was the new number that you gave me last time.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Again, Dr. Markovich, really appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Bob.
Right.
Thank you.
My pleasure indeed. All right, coming up, we're going to visit with Bill Barnett, former mayor of Naples. That and more right here on the Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
Stay tuned for more of the Bob Harden Show here on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network.
You have questions about your retirement? Ameriprise Private Wealth Advisor Jason Nardella with Nardella Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, can help. With the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach, you'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap to get you where you want to go. Call Nardella Financial Group today at 239-325-1041. That's 239-325-1041. Office is located at 9015 Stratistel Court, Suite 103, Naples, Florida. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Blue Provence Restaurant is a favorite dining destination for many Neapolitans, including Lyndon myself. Blue Provence, located in a historic building in the heart of Old Naples at Creighton Cove, offers a mix of French bistro cooking with bold, fresh Floridian flavors. Experience award-winning cuisine at Blue Provence and enjoy one of Florida's most extensive, eclectic, and fun wine cellars. Dining your choice of the popular Eden Bar, the intimate Courtyard Garden, or the beautiful Provençal Caribbean Dining Room. Enjoy a wonderful and memorable evening in a casual and relaxed atmosphere that includes a taste of Provençal hospitality. Blue Provence is open 7 days a week, all year round. Visit BlueProvenceNaples.com for reservations, everyday specials, and coming events. That's BlueProvenceNaples.com or call 261-8239. That's 261-8239. Blue Provence, French restaurant in the heart of Old Naples.
Welcome back to the Bob Harden Show. And now here's your host, Bob Harden.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the show. We're providing you news and commentary rooted in a commitment to individual liberty, personal responsibility, limited government, and the rule of law. We have with us the former mayor of Naples, Bill Barnett. Bill, thank you so much for joining us here on the show.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you for asking me on this. We don't know what kind of Thursday it's going to be. They're forecasting some rain or showers, but I don't know. Hard to tell. But we're in Naples, so it's okay.
It's okay indeed. You know, but it's been just strange weather this year, hasn't it? I mean, the temperature, the rain, intermittent rain. It's just been so interesting this year.
Well, it has been. We've had a really nice. We really had a nice month last month. We're still holding on to a couple of those days, but I don't think for much longer.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. One thing I'm noticing is that we got the car carriers coming back. It's such a delight to see. And the traffic is reduced substantially.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. As a matter of fact, we have a friend in town, and we went with him the other night to your favorite restaurant. And Bob, it was and Blue. I'm talking about Blue Provence, and it was half empty, and that was about 6:30 at night.
Wow!
And if you remember the last time we went there, boy, if you didn't have a reservation, you weren't getting a seat.
No, that's right.
So, and that's probably a really good barometer of whether the season is on its way out the door, because. When that place is, when you can get seats in there, that tells you something.
It does. By the way, I'm very happy for Jacques and his wife, who are now transitioning. They've raised two great sons, Kevin and Clement, who are now going to start taking over the restaurant and running the business. So it's a milestone for Jacques and his wife.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, those are some hardworking people, but... he is certainly well appreciated in this town. I mean, he knows so many people. His wine list. I mean, if you're looking for an extensive wine list, not necessarily top of the line. You can find some reasonably priced wines, and either he or his son will help you make a choice if you're not sure of what you like or what you want that evening. They're just good all around restaurant, and we're fortunate here in Naples, Bob. We've got so many of them.
We have.
But on the council end of things, they had their first meeting, and everybody kind of got to know each other a little bit, and as I say, break bread. And so we'll see where this goes. They actually got out at 5:15, which was probably a new world record for her, but because it was the first day, who knows? But I think they we'll see as time goes along how it goes. But yeah. They've got a lot of projects in front of them, and I'm not sure that they have the answers yet to resolving them. But Jay Boudichoir, the city manager, is certainly at the top of his game, and I'm putting a lot of faith in him this year. He certainly certainly knows what he's doing, and I think that if he can direct council and just steer him in the right direction when they start to go off direction, I think they might have a good year. I'd like to see it for a change.
I'd love to see it have a good year. There's a lot next to Sea Salt, and I believe there's supposed to be a boutique hotel built there. I was wondering do you know what's going on?
I don't know what's going on there. Opposite Blue Provence, all that empty space where Napoli by the Bay used to be and everything is now empty.
Right.
And I have no idea. All I heard when I asked... I asked someone, what is going on there? Their answer to me was nothing.
I think Jacques owns. I think he owns that lot.
Yeah, he might. I said because he's the one that said to me nothing right now, and I said, well, that's good because it's a nice view of the boats,
Yeah.
And Yeah, well, that's a great move for him if he does, because he, you know, Fleischman for years talked about building a hotel there. They were going to put a hotel up there. I mean, years and years and years, but nothing ever happened.
Right.
I don't think they ever got together with him. And
well, they've cleared the land. I mean, they've got the green gauze surrounding the place, so I think they're ready to go. Maybe they're just waiting until May, till the season's over.
Yeah. We'll find out, and certainly within the next month or two, we're going to find out some projects that are going to be happening in Naples. But for the most part, it's kind of nice to be able to drive down the trail without bumper to bumper traffic. And these will be some of our quiet months. Yet they stay busy.
Well, we certainly do. And is City Council going to be meeting over the summer?
No, they take their summer break, I think, second or third week in June, and then they don't come back until August.
Uh-huh.
So we'll have to come up with our own meetings.
Yeah. So what's anything that stands out in your mind, the projects in Naples that are something we should be paying attention to?
Well, definitely the outfalls on the beach, which has been such a huge monster that the mayor blamed it on the prior council, which was us. But unfortunately for her, we handed them a complete project, but they goofed around and they didn't do anything. And next thing you know, it went from $32 million to $90 million. And
wow.
They have to wrestle with that. That project has got to be done. And, of course, getting the Four Seasons finished, they're working along on that. And hopefully they're not going to have any snafus. The city manager has come up with his porte cochere, and so they'll have to do some permitting for that, but he's basically approved it. And so we'll watch those projects. They're coming along. And as far as the waterfront one goes, that's Gulf Shore Boulevard. That's going to be a big one, you know. And the pier, Bob, I'm going to tell you, and you haven't heard much about it.
No.
They've redesigned. They've got it, whatever. I think they're ready. But the people that live around the pier,
mm-hmm.
okay, on that street on 12th, okay, or 13th, I don't know how they're possibly going to survive on that with the construction and everything else. Because they'd have to be miracle makers to make those people comfortable. Now, they could open up the back alley. You know, they come in through the back alley, which is something they might just do. That's my guess, but we'll find out. But boy, that's going to be a project.
And it's an important project. I mean, the pier is one of its highlights of downtown Naples. So much goes on there. Bill Barnett, again, former mayor of Naples. I just genuinely appreciate you bringing us up to date. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure, Bob, and stay well, and I'll speak to you next week.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Bill. Well, that's a wrap here on today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly did and learned a lot. We've got some great guests for tomorrow's show, including William Yateman. He is a senior legal fellow with the Pacific Legal Foundation. Michael Cannon is the director of health policy studies with the Cato Institute. Scott Walter has written a new book. It's called Arabella. It's about dark money and what's going on in the Democrat Party. I'm looking forward to that conversation. And Larry Bell, a weekly guest, endowed professor at the University of Houston in space architecture, and author of many books. His latest, Architectures Beyond Boxes and Boundaries, My Life by Design, by Professor Larry Bell. If you enjoy the show, I hope you pass the word on to your friends and neighbors. That's one of the ways we support our advertisers, and we can't do the show without them. I hope you make it a great day on the Paradise Coast or wherever you are. Namaste.
Thanks so much for listening to The Bob Harden Show on the Bob Harden Broadcasting Network. For more information and audio files of previous shows, visit www.bobharden.com.